You're listening to an audio sermon presentation from the Reverend Paul W. Simrell, pastor of Elpis Christian Church, Maidens, Virginia. You can learn more about our congregation and its ministries by visiting elpischurch.org. We also hope that you'll continue to access other sermons, Bible study and meditation materials, resources for pastoral counseling, and more by visiting our church's blog, which can be found at igw3.blog. That's the number 3, igw3.blog, or paulsimrell.com, or by visiting our congregation's Facebook page. Now, here's today's message. Our scripture verse comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter, the 42nd through the 47th verses. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's a hymn our little congregation likes to sing on a regular basis. You know the one. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. It's said that those words and the rest of the words to the hymn were those spoken by a Christian missionary who lived in the 19th century. He and his family were killed for their faith and witness, and though thankfully most of us don't have to pay such a harsh price for professing our faith, the hymn continues to inspire and lead us today. I thought of that hymn as I selected the scripture text from the book of Acts for our sermon today. Luke tells us that there were some very significant components in the ongoing life of the early church. Dr. Vernon McGee refers to them as the four fingerprints of a faithful, believing church today. So I want to spend a little time looking at each of them today. What are they? Number one, steadfastly following the apostles' doctrine. Number two, fellowship. Number three, the breaking of bread. And number four, praying. Not only our little congregation, but churches all over the world are having to find new ways to do each of these, given the fact that most churches are not even meeting together right now. So how do we do it? Well, first, at the risk of repeating myself, let me remind you that the church is not a building. It never has been. It never will be. It is a body, the body of Christ. It has no walls, no locks on the doors, no membership requirements other than a desire to, as that little hymn puts it, deciding to follow Jesus, no turning back. That should simplify the issue a bit for us, don't you think? Yes, even now, our church leadership is trying to find ways to safely gather, and I mean safely. We're not going to leave common sense at the door and put our membership at risk of becoming sick or dying just for the sake of gathering physically. On the other hand, we're not going to live in fear either. So we're working on striking a balance. And you'll be hearing more about that in coming days and weeks. But for now, simply reminding ourselves that we are the church, even if and when we cannot physically gather, should help us rest assured that we are still able to be the faithful body of Christ, even if worship looks and feels very different right now. Having said that, let's get specific. Here are those points again. Number one, steadfastly following the apostles' doctrine. Number two, being in fellowship. Number three, breaking bread. And number four, having a full, active prayer life. How do we do that? Steadfastly following the apostles' doctrine means each and every one of us should be getting out our Bibles, dusting them off if need be, and actually reading them. We no longer have the luxury of having the truth of the gospel spoon-fed to us a little at a time on Sunday morning. I can't imagine the early church, under threat of death, sitting around saying, "Okay, who's got the sermon today? Let's get to it, and remember, keep it to about 15 minutes or less." I know that's an absurd example, but sometimes it feels to me like we slip into the temptation to do just that. Are you worried about your or your loved one's health? The Bible speaks to that. Are you concerned about your financial well-being and how you're going to be able to keep putting food on the table? The Bible speaks to that too. Are you struggling to decide how to follow the guidance of government authority while making sure you faithfully follow God and not Caesar? There's guidance on that too. Do you know where to find those verses? Have you committed at least one or two of them to memory? Why not do that now during this time of extended distancing from your fellow brothers and sisters in the faith? When was the last time you turned to the concordance in the back of your Bible to look up key words related to the things you're most concerned about right now? Life, death, money, government, church, family, faith, future. Maybe you're thinking, "Well, you're the preacher, that's your job." Sorry, that's just not true. While I hold a special responsibility to lead us in Bible study, it falls to every single believer, young, old, and in between, to dig into the Scripture, the Apostles' Doctrine, on your own. Come to think of it, let me give you a little homework. Pentecost Sunday is May 31st, and I'm praying that this year, Pentecost may be a Sunday of revival, a time when we celebrate the church's birthday in a particularly meaningful way. There couldn't be a better time than right now, in these weeks leading up to such a celebration, to study what the Scriptures teach us about the church. So, get out a pencil and a piece of paper. If you need to, stop this tape. I promise I won't go anywhere. And then write down a few scriptures. Are you ready? Here are those scripture verses. Matthew 16, 18. Acts 2, 47. Ephesians 5, 27. Colossians 1, 24. Hebrews 12, 23. And Revelation 22, 16. Let me repeat them. Matthew 16, 18. Acts 2, 47. Ephesians 5, 27. Colossians 1, 24. Hebrews 12, 23. And Revelation 22, 16. Got them? Good. Now, Take a little time over the coming weeks to study those passages in depth. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you answer these questions and any more that come to mind for you. What is the church? How was it formed? Who started it? Who belongs to it? What's the testimony of the church? Not just now, but in the future. And one more very specific question. When we gather together as the church once again, whenever and however we can, how will this experience have changed us for the better, making us more Christ-like in all we do, so that we can be the church, the body of Christ God intends us to be? I look forward to hearing about what you've discovered. Now, what about fellowship? Can we have fellowship over the telephone, using social media, writing letters to each other, texting? Of course we can. Again, we are working on ways to do that more effectively now and for however long we might need to be physically separated from each other. Instead of worrying about how strange that feels, let's be creative about how to say the things, loving, caring, supportive things, that we want and need to say to each other. Who knows, it might even be easier to do so at a little distance than when sometimes we get choked up trying to say such things to each other face to face. Now, the next one is tricky. The breaking of bread. This refers to communion, not just a normal meal. Churches are trying to figure out how to hold the Mass or celebrate the Eucharist or have the Lord's Supper. Those are all the same thing, by the way, without actually sharing the physical elements in a way that might spread COVID-19. That is not easy to figure out, but we're working on it. Here's the thing. What are we really doing when we gather at the Lord's table? We are following Jesus' instruction, do this in remembrance of me. We are remembering his love, his sacrifice, and how nothing in all the universe can separate us from that divine love and grace. That means you can do it with your family at home. You can even do it in a quiet prayer moment alone. Now, on this point, churches disagree strongly. Some say only ordained priests or elders can handle the sacrament, and I respect that. But what I'm talking about is some form of the breaking of bread that symbolically allows us to remember our Lord and his love. Nothing more and nothing less. I believe we can find creative ways to do that, even at home. Finally, praying. Do we need to sit in the sanctuary to do that? Is that the only place God hears us? Of course not. We can and we must be praying daily for each other, for our church, for our community, for the leaders of our state and nation, for our first responders, for the sick and dying, for those recovering, for the truckers and assembly line workers and grocery store clerks, those keeping the mail going out, those keeping our cars running, our teachers. Well, you get the idea. The list goes on and on. To those members of my congregation listening to my words right now, please hear me. I need your prayers more than ever. I worry, some say too much, about our little church and how it's faring in these strange times. I worry about how to keep us all pulling on the same oars. I worry, even though Scripture tells me to fear not. I take my responsibilities as your pastor very seriously, and my wife Elizabeth is right at my side doing that as well. We need your prayers and support now more than ever. You can't imagine how much that means to us, especially now. So thank you. So there you have it. The four fingerprints of the thriving active church that is following Jesus, no turning back. It looks to me like we can do all four right now, no matter what, whether or not we are meeting together physically. Don't worry, that day will come soon enough. In the meantime, let's stay busy, steadfastly following our Lord. No turning back. Amen.